The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into our Tuesday edition of the Leach Report on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. Normally, we are at Wild Eggs on Mondays during the football season, but because of the holiday yesterday, we're out here today. A great place to come and grab a breakfast, a brunch, or a lunch, so come out and join us while we're here. And back into the Palomar location and into the Monday routine next week. Coming up on the show today, Larry Vaught always joins us on Tuesdays, so we'll check in with him from over in Danville. And Coach Ortmeyer's here with us, normal Monday guest with us here at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. And we'll be talking, obviously, about a lot about Kentucky's season-opening win over Central Michigan on Saturday and looking ahead to the matchup with the Gators in the Swamp on Saturday night. Our guest lineup always presented by Sleep Outfitters. Wildcat news of the day, that's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. As expected, Terry Wilson is going to remain the starter for the Wildcats on Saturday at the Swamp, but Mark Stoops yesterday talked about he doesn't want to have a short leash on his quarterback. But I also think, given what we saw on Saturday, that they are very confident in Gunnar Hoke. So if Wilson struggles, I don't think you'll see him hesitate to turn to Gunnar. Talked to Coach Stoops about this on the radio show last night, that it was a strong statement for Gunnar, should boost his confidence, that when they not so much that they went to him because Terry had gotten hurt, but that when they did, it was a game in which Kentucky was struggling to hang on to the football. They were trailing, and they immediately went in and cut him loose on the two-minute offense and let him throw it around. And he responded by leading them down the field to a touchdown. It was a big one, obviously. And I just thought it was should be great for Gunner's confidence that they cut him loose when they put him in and didn't tighten the reins on him in that spot. And then for Terry Wilson, that they went back to him in the second half. So from the standpoint of the QB confidence, I think they should have both guys should have come out of the game in good shape. They both obviously have to get better to be able to go in and win at a place like the Swamp. Defensively, Stoops said yesterday, was really pleased, thought the tackling was very strong, communication was very strong. I thought they really, the tackling was sharp. A lot of one-on-one stops out in space that were sure tackles. Darius West in particular coming up from the safety spot, I thought, was very sure with his tackling. Cash Daniel as well made a couple of tackles out in space. Jordan Jones, linebackers, I thought were tremendous. Cash led them with 11 tackles. Josh Allen had 3 tackles for loss and 10 total tackles. And a great start for him to what should be a stellar campaign in his final season as a Wildcat. The streak's going to get a lot of attention this week, obviously. 31 in a row for the Gators. Florida defensive back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson yesterday said it'll be 32 after Saturday. Mark Stoops is handling this like he has in the past, not ignoring the streak or not bristling when somebody brings it up, not going to dwell on it. He said last night and at his news conference yesterday, he said it'll be the same when they play South Carolina, a team they've won 4 in a row, that he will downplay that just as much as he downplays the losing streak to the Gators. Ultimately, Kentucky's got to go in and beat them there or here or wherever, and who says what doesn't matter a whole lot. Once the game starts, you've got to go out and make the plays and make them all the way through. Kentucky clearly has had chances to win in recent years. They've got to close the deal, and it would be obviously tremendous. We'll talk a lot about this as we move through the show this week, what it could mean to the program just to get that win. Would be arguably, no matter how the season turns out for the Gators, just to get that streak off the books would be maybe the biggest win of the season for Kentucky if they could get it. A couple of other notes. DeAndre Liggins waived by New Orleans in the NBA, so hopefully he'll hook on with somebody else. John Toth was waived by the Eagles, but he was picked back up by their practice squad, so happy to see that for him. Dakari Johnson been invited to try out for the U.S. World Cup qualifying team. So Dakari's turned into a nice story, and it's a tribute to how hard he's worked at this, because I think he really went out a year too soon. I think he probably would have had a great shot to be a first-round draft pick and gotten a lot more guaranteed money had he come back for a second year. But once he did, you can't rewrite the past. You've got to make do with what the situation is. And he put in the work. He earned the trust of Billy Donovan there in OKC and earned his spot on the team last season, and now he's in a position where he's been invited to try out for a World Cup team for the U.S. So happy for Dakari that it has worked out very well. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Larry Vaught's going to join us when we come back. And then a little bit later, Coach Ortmeier will join us. And a lot of discussion about that season opening win for the Cats and looking ahead to the Gators this Saturday. It's the Leach Report. We're on location at Wild Eggs in Hamburg.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Back on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg as the Cats prepare for Florida week. So if you're over around the UK practice facility this week, you'll probably hear some noise that sounds like you would be at Florida Field. They always would play noise, loud music or crowd sounds or whatever on practice for the week of road games. But a few years ago, they started actually tailoring it to who the opponent was, which I thought was a good detail to pick up on. And it is so this week there'll be chants like you would hear at Florida Field. If you're around the practice facility over there, the craft practice facility, that's what you'll hear. Let's go to Larry Vaught now to talk a little bit more about Game 1 for the Wildcats. Before we get into specifics, Larry, just give me your takeaways from what you saw in Game 1.
I want Steve Ortmeier to go to the Kentucky coaching staff and explain to him what he used to do with Jacob Tammy when he played tight end.
He's chuckling.
That was
here.
My take from Game One, right there. But other than that, wondering again what C.J. Conrad has to do for them to decide maybe they can throw the ball to him. I guess I wasn't as disappointed as some. I figured any new quarterback making his first start was probably going to have some ups and downs. I thought with Benny Snell being under the weather. No Landon Young. I thought it was okay. I thought Mark Stoops played a lot of guys. Yeah, you'd like to have seen a little cleaner game, which I know Mark would have liked to have seen, but I don't think it was a disaster that some of my buddies seemed to think it was. It didn't make me want to bail out on the season or anything like that. Now, is there room for improvement? Yeah, there sure is. And if you're seeing the same things 3 weeks from now, then I think you're concerned. But I'm not ready to jump off the building yet.
No, I can't. I would not. A little trouble understanding why anybody would be really discouraged. I mean, if four turnovers is abnormal, they're not going to have four turnovers every week. And if you, they scored 35 points with four turnovers. So if you have a cleaner game, you win 42-49 to 10, maybe. And the score looks a little bit closer to what maybe some people were expecting. So when you have those kind of turnovers, you're just thrilled to get out with a convincing win like they did, I would think.
I think so, too. And now you hope that you make that jump in improvement from week one to week two, that you hear coaches like Steve Ortmeier and many more talk to you about that it's going to come. And hopefully that'll be the case. And I think there's plenty of things for both Terry Wilson and Gunnar Hope to work on. There's also plenty of things that you could see glimpses of it. Yeah, I like this guy, or I like that guy, or I like both these guys. So, again, I don't know exactly what's some people thought an opening game might look like, but that's why you have that game, and now you go to Florida, and let's see what happens.
I was telling Coach Ort here before the show started that I came away from the first game really with the same thought about the team that I had going in, is that they are it's Stoops' best team. I think they're a pretty good football team overall, but they're going to be as good as the quarterback play. And the quarterback and receiver were two question marks, and neither gave us a definitive answer on Saturday, and maybe the two of those will improve hand-in-hand, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so. And again, I'm certainly no expert to really rate and judge, but I didn't really see any receiver do a lot to help the quarterbacks look a little bit better either. There was a couple of chances that guys had to make tough catches, and I really don't think they made any of them. And I think somewhere this season, for the quarterback play to look better, they've got to have some receivers that can make some catches on balls that aren't perfectly thrown, but yet that you could make that extraordinary effort and catch some of them, like the Jacob Tammies and Keenan Burtons and Derek Abney's and Randall Cobb, what those guys used to be able to do. You've got to have somebody on this team that can show we can do that. I didn't see that in game one.
Yeah, I think Kentucky is those guys you mentioned, that was as good a passing game as Kentucky's had since Couch and Yeast and those guys were around. Now I think the strength of this team clearly is the running game, where you know with those guys it was the ability to throw it. And a big part of that running game being able to be all it can be was going to be somebody stepping up to complement Benny Snell. And we thought we saw a chance for it in the spring game. And at least in game one, we saw A.J. Rose back up what he did in the spring against outside competition.
Yeah, I think maybe we've fully seen why when Benny and A.J. were both freshmen, that for a while the idea was that maybe A.J. would be the guy playing and Benny would be the one redshirted.
That's right.
Some of the things they saw from A.J. early before they decided to go with Benny, which turned out to be a pretty good decision. But I think getting both those running backs in one class was a pretty big recruiting coup for Kentucky, and now it's going to give them a really nice 1-2 punch this year. And again, if they can just find a way to complement that with the pass some, and I'm going to go back because I'm going to harp on the tight end, because I just don't quite still get, I think CJ had, what, 3 catches for 9 yards and Justin Rigg didn't have any? It seems like, and I know you sometimes have to leave them in the pass block, but you can also, if you send them out, it seems to me, and throw the ball to them, that can help an awful lot of things. But that's why I sit here and second guess and why the other guys coach. But it still makes me wonder, Tom.
One thing that I had looked up, and I'm hopeful CJ can be a bigger threat on third downs now, like Jacob was, because he had, I think going into the game, I'd looked up, he had 50 career catches, and only 6 of them were on third down in his career. You would think he, and for whatever reason, he and Steven Johnson had trouble getting on the same page. There were probably some of those throws that they didn't connect on that were third down plays. But he did make a key third down catch somewhere in the second half, somewhere in the fourth quarter, I think. And I'm hopeful that CJ, that's one role in particular that he can be more involved in, is being a clutch guy on third down.
Yeah, because I'm of the feeling you need that one guy on your team that on certain third down plays, even if everybody in the stadium and every coach on both sidelines knows who you're going to throw it to, he can still either get open or still make that catch for you. And Kentucky just hadn't had that guy for a while now. And I'm like you. I was hopeful that CJ would be that guy. I thought maybe Dorian Baker could come back and be that guy. And again, Dorian's one of those guys I'm not going to worry about yet, because that's his first game back after that injury, and I hope he's going to get where he can roll and do a little bit more. But they've got to have that guy, I think, or most of your good teams have that guy when it doesn't matter who knows that you're going to throw it to him. He can still get there and make that big catch when you really need it, and that's something they just haven't had, and hopefully I'm with you, Tom. Hope CJ will be that guy.
We're on location here at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. Larry Vaught's joining us. Coach Ortmeier coming up in the second half. We'll get to a quick break, come back with more from Larry in just a moment. It is the Leach Report Radio Network.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
First touchdown, you know, that was my first carry also. So I just, like I said before, I saw Benny running the ball. Everybody was closing in the inside. I just knew if I follow my read and trust it, if I get outside, I'll run somebody.
How'd you feel when you finally scored? I mean, did you dream of that moment?
You know, I dreamed about it last night. I just pictured myself, you know, visualized everything I was going to do today. And when I finally scored, you know, it was a huge lift off my shoulders.
J. Rose talking after the game about his 55-yard touchdown run that really got Kentucky going on Saturday. He and Benny are roommates. I saw a picture of somebody, I think it was maybe on Twitter, Larry. There's just must have been close to a dozen people there that were kind of in the A.J. Rose fan club, and I know that had to be a special day for him.
Yeah, I was going to say that's one reason to play A.J. Rose. He's got enough people to help you fill the stands, you know, to watch him just out of his family. But it's pretty cool to think those two guys are roommates, both recruited the same year, seem to get along great, and there's no reason to think that there's not plenty of ways you can use both of them all season long. And, again, A.J.'s got that little more explosive burst at times. I think Benny might be a little bit more physical type guy. At times, Benny seems to kind of use contact and then bounce to where he is, where A.J. just hits it in full bore all the time, right in stride. So it's a nice 1-2 combination to have back there. And that way, if Benny was to get banged up a little bit, you don't have any hesitation now but to put A.J. Rose in there.
I want to talk about a story you posted, I think, after we visited last week. You caught up with Benny's mom and got some interesting comments about NFL chasing records, etc.
Yeah, April Snell's a really nice lady. I had a chance to get to know her a little bit during Benny's recruitment. And I thought, well, with everything going on with Benny, maybe kind of let her update on what's going on with there. And I was kind of wondering how the Snell family was handling the talk about the rushing record and about whether Benny might be ready for the NFL after this year. And really no surprise, but when she said that all that the whole Snell family was focused on was getting wins and getting a bowl win, and all the other stuff, I think she said, would be icing on the cake if it came along with the rushing record, and they would sit down and worry about the NFL months from now. But right now, just wanted to help Kentucky win football games. I think any time you've ever talked to Benny, you certainly get that impression from him. But when you talk to his mom, it's easy to see why he stays as focused as he does, because that's the way his mom and dad both are. So a really engaging and charming young lady. If you get a chance to go back and look at LEX18.com and see that story, I think you really enjoy it.
One other thing I want to talk about, one of your recent posts, I can't remember if it's there or at BossViews.com, about 40 seconds here, you talked to 20 Beckham, former Wildcat, who had an interesting comparison for the commitment, Khalil Whitney, who he reminds him of.
Yeah, Quanti got to work with him at a camp this summer in Los Angeles and talked about how Khalil reminds him of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. And again, that's at LEX18.com,
nice.
And you can go there and see why. But when Twani compares him to MKG, it certainly got my attention, Tom. And he thinks he's going to be a terrific player for Kentucky, like his athleticism and his attitude, both, which if you're going to compare somebody to Michael Kidd, you got to have both of those things.
Larry Vaught, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, Tom.
Halfway home on the Leach Report from Wild Eggs in Hamburg, Coach Ortmeier, when we come back.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the Leach Report for a Tuesday. We are on location at the Hamburg Wild Eggs, and Coach Steve Ortmeier alongside to talk about game one. We're talking there about the running backs, and when we were chatting last week, one of the things you had a question about coming into last season was who would replace Benny Snell, but Boom Williams and Jeff Bidette as those home run hitters. certainly still looking for that at the receiver position for Bidette, but with Boom, do you think A.J. Rose can fill that role?
I think Rose stepped up. I think Rose stepped up and showed me a lot of what I wanted to see. I wanted to see if he had true speed, and he certainly is. He certainly is close. I thought that not only did we get a good picture of him, but I don't think Benny was really at full speed, at least according to Benny in that game. And so Rose stepped up and looked like he can be a very capable guy in this offense. And I think it gives us a tremendous 1-2 running punch.
Because what we were talking about last week is when you have that, it affects how the defenses have to attack a guy like Benny.
Very much, very much. Yep,
and spreads them out more.
Spreads them out more, and Benny's going to get his yards inside. And if Rose can be a guy that is on the corner, and look like they're kind of setting up an interesting situation with Terry. They made Terry the move guy in the Wildcat, and if they can get some of that going on the edge, then that'll improve Benny a bunch
to where they could hand it to. On a jet sweep, essentially, to the quarterback.
You bet.
And you got to guard against the pass there.
You bet. We learned with Rich here that a jet sweep in third and short, fourth down is an almost impossible play to stop.
Why is that?
Because it puts that outside linebacker in such a bind. He doesn't know whether to keep leverage on the play or hightail it for the sideline so that he can make a play. It's a real bind for an outside guy. And if you've got a legitimate speed guy, you can't do it with a guy like Saheem King or you can't do it unless the guy has true speed. But if the guy has true speed, it's an impossible situation for an outside backer.
With Kentucky going down to Florida on Saturday, we can talk a little bit about what the script would look like if Kentucky can end the streak. And first thing I want to touch on is just the running game. They're going to need to be better as the season unfolds in the passing game, and they're going to have to hit some of the deep shots that they missed. But it's interesting. I was starting to run some of these numbers and preparing for Saturday. This is 14 years in a row that Florida has outgained Kentucky in rushing yards. Last time Kentucky outgained Florida was your all's first year in 2003, and you nearly beat them. Had the punt return that was wiped off by a penalty and the late interception that was a killer. But if that's the last time Kentucky outgained Florida in rushing yards. And you think, well, what about Benny Snell these 2 years? 2 years ago, Benny wasn't playing yet when they played Florida
in the first
game, and they got down early, and so the running game was taken out of the mix. Last year, Kentucky was still trying to find its identity with its offensive line when they played early in the year, and Benny in the first half of the year, I think, had one 100-yard rushing game. He had the bulk of his 100-yard rushing games after they put Drake Jackson at center and got the pieces all fitting together. So Benny, I think, had, I want to say, like 20 carries for 59 last year against the Gators, who once again outrushed Kentucky. Dan Mullen, his attack is heavy on the rushing game, even though Franks threw five touchdowns in their runaway win on Saturday. If Kentucky, to me, the script for Kentucky to win, one of the big keys would be getting more rushing yards than Florida.
I think it is. I think that's true. And I see no reason why that can't happen. One of the keys, in my opinion, to playing Florida in Gainesville is to take a plan down there with you, and with the players where there's very little bit that can happen that you have not planned for. You need to be very confident going into that stadium. It's a noisy place to play. It's a great field to play football on, but it's a noisy place to play. And I think a key to this game for UK is to go in there with confidence. They need to be prepared to go in there before they go in. They need to not wake up on Saturday morning and see what's happening. They need to go in there knowing what's going to happen.
Today,
and just carry the practice field from this week to Gainesville.
And given how, obviously they should have won last year, and there's guys that were on the team, maybe I guess still back to 14 or certainly to 15 when games that Kentucky could have won in the series. I think those veteran guys are going to have that confidence. The question is, will the quarterback, how will he be, whoever it is, or if it's both of them, how will they handle that? Because they don't have that experience that all these other guys do.
You're right. They don't. And yet I like what Henshaw said this week, that he is that he's aware of that and that he is going to simplify this plan. He's going to give them fewer reads and more definitiveness, so that they can play football. They can play football straight ahead, and they won't be. I think that's a key to this game. Our guys will not have a problem with the Gators. Our guys will play the Gators man for man and talent wise on a very positive note. I think as long as they can go in there and play with the confidence, I'm not going to say the confidence that they did in the first half of CMU, because that was a very unconfident half. But if they play with the confidence that they had the second half, that's what it'll take this week.
The attack for Kentucky is certainly going to be run heavy. It'll be interesting to see what the plan is. I suspect they'll try to hit some of those shots that they missed on Saturday, because Florida's going to load up on the run game. You're going to the rest of that script is to be able to run the football, but also be able to hit a few of those deep passes to loosen them up.
Yeah, I think so. And I was listening to what Larry Vaught said, and I thought those were very astute comments when he's talking about the tight end. Larry, I'd like to see happen with Conrad had no chance when he caught the ball on Saturday, none, because his shoulders are...
He's going side to side.
Yeah, his shoulders are either horizontal or they're back to the quarterback. I would like to see Coach Grand get in a situation where they get Conrad some in the seam like they did early last year before he got hurt, and because he's a load. He's an absolute load, and those are easy plays to hit if your quarterback. They ought to be easier plays to hit this year, because with the quarterback being a running threat, they're gonna have to do quite a bit of man situations in the seam, and I think Conrad can handle that well, and he could become a major factor up the field if we'll just let him keep his shoulders upfield.
I suspect they kept a few cards in their pocket for Saturday's game.
I would think
because,
so.
You know, they scored 35 points with four turnovers, so I'd say they probably had a pretty good feeling of you know, what they would need to be able to get the win, and then they got it by 15 points. But I suspect we'll see a few more tricks than we saw on Saturday.
I would think so. I was kind of like Larry's buddies at the end of the game. I wondered what I had just seen, and then I took a step back, and I think that's what your friends need to do, Larry, is to take a step back and say, oh, you know, we're 1 point ahead with four turnovers in the first half. You've never seen that before, and you won't see it again. You just don't take a lead into a half when you turn the ball over four times, and you don't get many wins at the end of the game where you turned it over four times, and they turned it over none. And if you take the per carry, you take that 17-yard carry out of the second half for Central Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they got nothing. I mean, they got absolutely nothing. And you had to be impressed and encouraged by what Stoops was able to do defensively in the game.
Talk with Coach Ortmeier. If you've got a question, tweet us at Leach Report. And we'll get to a quick break and come back. We're on location at the Hamburg Wild Eggs. Breakfast, brunch, or lunch here each and every day. And everything is made from scratch. The patio is still open for a while longer. I mean, beautiful day today, so you can come out here or the Palomar location and enjoy your meal with your friends, with your family, out on the patio at Wild Eggs. We just had a couple of fantastic omelets, so you can try those or whatever you like on the menu here at Wild Eggs. We'll be right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
You can tell that everything he does, he's absolute as cowed in. You know, there's no There's no joking around of any kind. And let's not get it twisted. Josh likes to have fun, but he knows the difference between when to have fun and when to hone in and, you know, and lock stuff down. And and it's not just Josh. A lot of guys on our team do that. And if we continue to do that and keep guys, you know, building on about that, you know, you'll see Josh's attitude out of everybody.
That was Cash Daniel, who was Kentucky's leading tackler with 11, talking about Josh Allen, who had 10, plus a sack and three tackles for loss in that total of 10. And Josh Allen's going to have a big year, Coach.
He is. And Cash Daniel made me feel good.
Yeah, I agree.
He gave me a feeling of some stability on that defense. And like I say, when I took a step back and looked at what they did defensively, basically, I was not thrilled, but I was impressed.
My job, I follow the ball, so I don't watch the away-from-the-ball action until I see a replay. What did you see in the defensive line?
I saw good movement and good strength. I saw Bohanna look like he's going to become a player. I think we got real competent position play out of our defensive ends, both of them, and Jones flies around and
that line. Very impressive to me if they can get that freedom to move around.
Yeah, and if they can stay healthy. But the thing that they did better this year in this first game than they have been doing in past start of the seasons is they tackled well.
Yeah.
I was impressed with that.
And that's, you know, I've gone back and forth on this feeling. It's like part of me wishes Kentucky had another week to get ready for for the Gators with the quarterbacks. But on the other hand, what you just mentioned about staying healthy, you know, Kentucky's really thin behind those linebackers. And against this offense in particular, all the misdirection and how well Mullen's teams usually run the ball, linebacker plays in the front group, and the linebackers are going to be huge. So the healthier you are when you play them, the better your chance are.
Yeah, and this team should be totally 100% healthy going into this game. And that was a good opener to get that started with, and we didn't play against any difference makers. CMU didn't have any difference makers. That's what their problem is. But they were a solid football team, and that Poljan is not a stiff. He's a bit of an athlete, and I thought they played him well.
And they're going to face a similar type of offense in floor in Mullen's offense on Saturday, a lot of that read option. But I think actually Poljan is the type of quarterback that Mullen wants.
Yes,
Fitzgerald
yes.
that he left at Mississippi State.
Yep.
Whereas Franks had a nice game against an FCS team, but he's not the type of quarterback Mullen's going to recruit.
No, he's not. He's not, and we know that. And I would think that Josh and some of our guys rushing the quarterback are kind of licking their lips because he's going to be a guy that's going to, you know, where he's going to be in the pocket, and let's go find him.
Question: this is a special teams question. Kentucky Swish tweeting in at Leach Report: when the holder on a field goal receives the snap, their knee is down as they take that snap. So if they get tackled while holding for the kicker, what makes them considered down?
Well, that's one of those rules that you're allowed in football, that you're allowed to have your knee down.
That he's the one guy that can.
Yes, and it's kind of like on a kickoff.
That's why he can get up and he can take the snap, get up and run.
Yeah, a kicker on the kickoff is actually allowed to be a little bit ahead of the ball when he kicks it, and this is the other rule in that neighborhood. The holder's allowed to have his knee down. By the way, we have a good holder here. Yeomans is a good holder. Mm-hmm. Yeomans and Best are very competent at doing what they're doing, and that gives us a good starting point for helping Butler and Poor if we choose to use him. But I thought Butler did a good job in this game, and Yeomans certainly helped him.
Duffy punted it well.
Yes, Duffy putting it well, and I've got confidence in Duffy going to Florida. I think he'll do fine. He sounded like a guy that is trying to build his own confidence, but he looked okay to me, and he's looked okay to me in practice. I think Duffy will do just fine in Florida.
Quite an opening weekend for the Southeastern Conference.
Oh, man. That was a real weekend. And the great thing about it was the two teams we play, Tennessee and
Louisville.
Louisville got buried, absolutely buried. I mean, what a weekend. It was certainly a weekend, Tom, where you learn that in Division One football, coaches don't win games, players win games. You could just ask Petrino and you could ask Urban Meyer, and it was no more evident than in those games.
We'll see the marquee matchups of this weekend turn out to be duds for the most part. Virginia Tech, Florida State last night, Miami, LSU the night before. Auburn, Washington was maybe the best game of the weekend. I think one of the games certainly people will focus on this week's Georgia, South Carolina. And since that there's a lot of buzz for South Carolina, we'll see how legitimate it is in this matchup.
Yeah, we'll see how legitimate it is. That'll be a good game. It'll be a real test for Georgia. I don't expect South Carolina to beat Georgia, but because I think Georgia's loaded. The teams at the top of the college football situation, playoff contending teams, I thought were very impressive. I thought Wisconsin was very impressive. Alabama was very impressive. It's going to be a tough year at the top.
Let's go back as we close this out. The streak that will get so much conversation this week always does when Kentucky and Florida play until Kentucky gets it off the books. Did you sense talk about it much when you were on the staff here with Coach Brooks for several years? How did you all handle that?
No, I'm like Stoops on that. Streaks are for Florida to talk about, not Kentucky, and Florida will do a lot of talking about it, but. As far as we're concerned at Kentucky, and as far as the players are concerned, this is the game this week. This is the game this week. This is a completely different team. Those guys don't know who those other 31 even are, and it's go down and lay it on the line. As far as Kentucky's concerned, the streak isn't going to get Florida any points, and it isn't going to cost them any points. It's just a matter of going and winning your battle on the field. And that's all there is to it. There should not even be a streak in the mind of any Kentucky player.
Yeah, I think I'd almost approach it from the standpoint of, look what winning this game could do for your season.
Yeah.
You might get ranked if you do this.
That's
You're
exactly
gonna
right.
Start the SEC with a win and all of those things, as opposed to having to worry about that monkey that's on a back.
That's exactly right. I think the way Stoops explains it for himself is the way to approach it.
Coach, always a pleasure, and we will do this next week on a regular Monday over at the Palomar Wild Eggs, but enjoy the football this weekend.
Thanks.
Coach Steve Ortmeyer joins us on Mondays here on the Leach Report to rehash the Kentucky game. Heading to a break. We'll come back and wrap things up in just a moment.